Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
No doubt President Biden will make his case for Ukraine aid during the State of the Union tonight, 8 o'clock Chicago time. Joe Lindsley and the people of Ukraine will no doubt be interested in what he has to say and the reaction to it. Joe, can you see that live? Can you hear that? Will you tonight?
Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. Yes, I'm sure no matter how tired I am, I will still be paying attention to the State of the Union. And it will, you know, President Biden has an opportunity here. He could either sort of go in the same pattern that the White House has been the past few months and, you know, sort of cajole the Republicans to support the spending packages that have been proposed for Ukraine. Or he could choose to use his authority as president, given by Congress, to lead and to say, okay, even if the Republicans don't want to support Ukraine in X, Y, and Z way, he could say, I, as the president, have an authority. There's presidential drawdown authority with billions of dollars of assets available, and he could use that immediately to release emergency artillery and ammunition and also long-range weapons like the ATACMS. He could do that. He doesn't need Congress's approval. That's already given under the law, and he refuses to do it so far. But perhaps, you know, if he wanted to have a very bold State of the Union and to lead instead of to be timid on this topic, he could very well make that. And there's a hope of everyone who believes in Ukraine, especially foreign observers, that he will, that there'll be some kind of surprise in his speech, that he will make such an announcement. And perhaps, you know, you could make a case for that. I mean, if it's not enough of 2 years of Russia's full-scale invasion, if it's not enough of 2 years of Ukrainians showing what they can do, you know, continued destruction of the Russian Air Force and Navy, we have that extraordinary scene from yesterday. We know more information about it now from the city of Odessa. You had the Prime Minister of Greece with President Zelensky. And while that visit was happening, while they were there, they were touring the Orthodox Church that the Russians attacked many months ago. So you have the Prime Minister of Greece, an Orthodox believer, there visiting an Orthodox church that came under attack months ago. And while that visit was happening, the Russians sent missiles to Odessa. This is extraordinary. I think the President Zelensky and the Greek Prime Minister were about five football fields away from those missiles. And this is notable. I don't like that word escalation. It's always used whenever Ukraine or Ukraine's friends try to do, you know, send more support. But we have to look at this as an escalation from Russia, because every single time when there are foreign leaders here present in Ukraine, the Russians do not, they certainly don't attack the cities where the foreign leaders are. And they even scale back missile attacks on other cities around the country. This is clear. It never happens until yesterday. There was an incident a few weeks ago when the German foreign minister was in Odessa, and her team said that they were followed by a Russian drone. So we see the Russians pushing and seeing what they can get away with. And with all these questions we have to ask, if you're Putin, if you're the Kremlin officials, and you do something like this, and you almost kill the Prime Minister of Greece and Zelensky, and I've been that close to missile attacks, so, you know, I know what they felt in their systems upon hearing that missile strike. And if you see how the West responds, what's your reaction? Are you emboldened, or do you become bolder, or do you become less bold? And if the West doesn't do anything, well, why would you not become boldened? Why would you not see, you know, tiptoe a little bit further and see what you could do tomorrow or next week? And so I think hopefully people in the White House realize this and see the opportunity tonight of the State of the Union, and maybe, you know, have realized that, you know, this, you can't win if you never cross the red line, and you can't win unless you escalate. And we have Iran and North Korea sending ammunition and weapons to Russia. That's never called an escalation, only when the West is. And so there's a hope that maybe tonight President Biden with a speech like he gave in Kyiv 1 year ago when he came here with his aviator glasses on, and it was a powerful, stirring speech. If he could pull something like that off tonight, maybe that could help inspire people to wake up and to move toward from words into action.
Reading a report, I guess this is from one of the Russian commanders saying that they can continue fighting in Ukraine for at least 2 more years. Also, that that comes from somebody in Lithuania as well. Joseph, I mean, do you ever think about this, that you, I know you're determined to stay there, stay the course there. Is there an end in sight? I mean, do you think about that? You think about the end game here?
Yeah, it's a heavy topic always. And if we only look at the war on land, it can be discouraging. I mean, we have a few more tiny villages outside of Avdiivka in Donbass that have fallen into Russian hands. Ukrainians have pulled back. Ukraine, you know, by all accounts, by when I speak with guys at the front and it, you know, and accounts from high levels, low level, everywhere in between, it's a big struggle with lack of ammunition. They don't, you know, again, the president of the United States could send these ATACMs, these long-range missile systems that could change the game. The 17 that they sent last fall did change the game. The HIMARS that were sent in 2022 delayed what back then was a weekly fall of mid-sized Ukrainian cities. You know, that was happening every week. And when those HIMARS came from the U.S., it took 8 months for Bakhmut to fall, and then almost another year for a place like Avdiivka. And so Ukrainians have shown that they can hold the line, but it is incredibly brutal there at the front. But on the other side of this, in the sea and the sky, Ukrainians are doing extraordinary things. And this can't be neglected as we analyze the story. And there are reports today, it's very rare, that there are no, as of this morning, no Russian ships, no Russian military ships in the Black Sea. And Ukrainians are making the Black Sea untenable for the Russian Navy. This is quite extraordinary. There's a new class of sea drones that the Ukrainians are using, and which they used to destroy that Russian ship, the Kotov, which was a $65 million ship on Sunday night. And the name of this class of drones is Avdiivka, that town that fell into Russian hands just a few weeks ago. And so these things are connected both psychologically, but also Ukrainians are saying, okay, even if we don't have the resources now to push back on land, but using ingenuity, they've taken, you know, more than 10 Russian jets out of the sky, and they're making the Black Sea a terrifying place for any Russian ship. And so, and then meanwhile, we have European nations are starting to scramble and say they got to step up. Norway just agreed to allocate about $150 million worth of ammunition to an effort led by the government in Prague, the Czech government, to get artillery shells to Ukraine. So we're starting to see some momentum on this. And so while Ukrainians are you know, holding the line and sort of begging for that support on land, what they're doing in the sea and the sky is pretty extraordinary. And as we also, you know, we talk, maybe we'll hear something tonight about F-16s. It's like a big myth, you know, F-16s to Ukraine, and it's now 2 years. And we should note that there are American F-16s. They never operate in the country without approval of the U.S. They are F-16s are in Venezuela. They're in Turkey. They're in Thailand. They're in Slovakia, Iraq, Indonesia, Chile, Belgium. And so the argument that Ukrainians need, you know, need special training to use this when Ukrainians are proving such ingenuity in every other field, that can't be the real story.
Yeah, look what the Ukrainians have done to the Russian ships, and they don't even have a navy, do they?
Well, in the old sense of navy, they don't. But we're seeing warfare really change here. There's a new type of navy, and it is these sea drones. And there's a video I just watched from a Russian, seemed to be a Russian merchant marine ship in the Black Sea, and they saw the terrifying sight of the little Avdiivka drone flying over the Black Sea going toward the Kotov, and you can hear the desperate sound of gunfire to stop it, and they couldn't stop it. And as we think about this, you know, here's one burden the Ukrainians have. But the headlines about that extraordinary sinking of the Kotov were always couched in a negative sense. The BBC said Ukraine says seven killed in attack on Russian ship, and that makes it look like some, you know, it's just a messy, complicated thing. And why are Ukrainians killing people? You know, why not a headline that says Ukraine destroys key Russian ship? Ukraine is making Black Sea untenable for the Russian Navy. That's completely accurate. And but and I think so. The way the story is being told sets up a negativity that creates a perception that Ukrainians can't do this, when we're seeing Ukrainians have this incredible energy and ingenuity. All you got to do is give them the tools and they can get it done.
Joe Lindsley in Ukraine, thank you as always for taking us behind the headlines, Joe, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Until tomorrow. Thank you, Bob.